Hello and welcome to the Just Investing Podcast, episode 85. And in today's episode, we'll be discussing some of the many mysterious and weird and wonderful attempts by the CIA to assassinate Cuban leader Fidel Castro, the legend. I was about to say living legend, but he's actually no longer living. But that's spoilers for the podcast ahead. But before we get into that, obviously, spoilers. I'll be chatting about some interesting things with my good buddies, Alex and Martin. How are you, Martin?
Oh, well, good. I'm good. Sorry, Alex. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first. It's fine.
I mean, at the time we're recording this, I'm sure you guys might feel the same, but it's a Wednesday evening for, especially if you live viewers there, you know. Gosh, it's a Wednesday evening. Tomorrow and Friday are public holidays here in the UK for the Queen's Jubilee. Now, Oliver, I just called you Oliver for some reason. Robin.
You've ousted me.
My stage name is busted. My real name is Oliver. Yeah,
that was quite left field. As you posted on Twitter earlier, are you celebrating the Jubilee? Was the question you asked to people, and what are you doing? And I think the overwhelming consensus was no.
Yeah, surprisingly, 96%, I think, at the last time I checked, of respondents to that question said they are not celebrating the Jubilee.
Yeah,
and I may have been one of those votes.
I was one of those too. But I'll take the 2 days. I'll take the extra 2 days. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling like now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 3-day week. Hopefully, the whole country will get used to this and we'll put pressure on the government to scrap the 5-day working week. Although it's not really an extra day.
I love the monarchy now.
Yeah, suddenly. That's how to keep the monarchy. Just give people 4 days off a week. But it's not actually an extra day, is it? For us, there are two bank holidays.
What?
In May, June. There are two 3-day weekends in the UK, and they've moved one 3-day weekend to combine with the other 3-day weekend for a 4-day weekend to coincide with the Platinum Jubilee. Our government wasn't so magnanimous as to give us an extra day of holiday.
No, just
combine two bank holidays together. Still grateful for it, not going to lie. And I'm sure there are many people, well, lots of people have been trying and failing to go on holiday. Good luck getting a flight. And I hope that nobody listening to this is trapped waiting to catch a flight abroad, at least in the UK, but wherever you are. In the world, and whatever time you're listening to this, I hope you're not trapped waiting for a flight.
That's been a pretty big news story today in the UK,
actually,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The flight problems, but I don't think that's what we're talking about today.
It's not. No, who knows? Make up. How are you doing?
Travel disruptions in the UK.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
And now the weather.
Well, I'm up in Scotland, so. Ooh. I feel
maybe,
like the
maybe
whole
you do
royal,
want to discuss the weather.
The royal family is just, this whole thing has been, I have heard nothing from up here. I don't know what any, if anything, are the plans up here, but I've not made any Jubilee plans. I'm interested to know in the comments though if anyone else has. I mean, for those of you listening to us at a later date, we are actually doing this live on our YouTube channel, The Just Interesting. No, it's just called Just Interesting, isn't it? I should know that by now. Just Interesting YouTube channel. So if you're not following us there, go and subscribe to us and you may be able to catch us live in one of our next podcasts. But people in the comments, how is everyone doing this fine evening? Aaron Lee's in the chat. Snowdies says, hey, everyone. Hi from New Jersey, USA, says Bush.
Hey.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
But to answer your question, Robin, I'm doing absolutely fantastic this week.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm just doing all right. It's just fine. Just
well, hopefully we'll all be perked up, if we're not feeling perked up already, by a quiz at the end of this episode, which I think Martin has kindly volunteered to provide.
Yes, it's about time, I think. You know, I feel like I've done about 30 in a row.
You've got five wins out of it. So, hey.
Exactly.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
It's a run that was, you know, worthwhile in getting myself up the leaderboard, but it's about time I did one, I think. You just have to win now, Robin, I'm afraid.
Well, that's the problem. I'm using the excuse of not having done so many quizzes to justify the fact that I'm behind the both of you. So
there
we go.
I've got my game face on. I've done nothing this week except for prepare for quizzes. I've been doing quizzes left and right. So
nice.
I'm on it and I'm determined to win.
Fighting talk, my goodness.
Well, Snowdyz says street parties, etc. here in Newcastle, presumably for the Platinum Jubilee. Nice. Nice. Lots of street parties going on. Lots of bunting. Giant picnics planned, I think, in certain parts of the country.
I did that 10 years ago, Robin. And it was okay. It was at my parents' road. But I mean, the way things are nowadays, I just didn't really know any of the neighbours. Where do you live? Oh, two houses down. Fantastic. Nice to meet you for the first time. We've been here since 96.
Yeah. And that awkward moment when then the party ends and you part ways and you know that you'll never see them again.
Yeah, see you in 2 years. Yeah. Next one.
Oh, dear. Well, before we get onto the main topic of today's discussion, which is going to be, as I mentioned, Fidel Castro and the many assassination attempts on his life. Were they successful? We'll find out. We'll be, as usual, discussing your comments, maybe what comments that people have made on past YouTube videos, or maybe just the live comments in the chat right now. Depends how many you comment, how many that grammar worked, whatever.
I'd like us to ask, as we're doing these live now, if anyone has any interesting facts of the week that they'd like to share, to comment it. And then maybe we can read that some of those out as well.
That's a good idea. Wow. That's a really good idea.
We have no fact checker though, so people could just say anything and we'll probably read it out. So
did you know that injecting Ribena into your veins cures diabetes?
Oh, Martin, don't even, YouTube is going to shut us down so fast.
or promote us. Which
or
one?
Who
this
knows?
This homemade hack solution to diabetes is disrupting the industry. Anyway.
Doctors hate them.
Number four will shock you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned people sharing their interesting facts, Alex, because, of course, we'll begin this episode, as we always do, with interesting things we've learned this week. And fellas, what have you learned this week, Alex?
So I've learned an interesting statistic this week. Well, I found it interesting. I hope that you do as well. Otherwise, this is going to be pretty dry. How many species of mammals do you think there are? Roughly.
Seven.
Roughly. Seven. Okay, seven.
Seven.
Seven. Seven is the number to beat.
I mean, that's actually really incredible. I've never thought of that before. There's got to be at least 1,000.
I'm going to go for more.
That's more like it. That's more like it.
Way more. Yeah. Okay. 72,000.
So there's... I think there's over like 5,400 discovered species of mammals.
Rubbish.
Oh, okay.
So mammals.
Maybe not as many as you thought, or somewhere in between those two guesses.
Not as many more than I expect. As in, that's lower than I expected.
Now, how many species of bats do you think there are?
Oh.
Oh, okay. It's going to be surprising.
Is it 1,000?
It is. Yeah, there's over 1,000 species of bats. Wow. I think actually specifically there's over like 1,400 species of bats.
Really?
So bats make up a significant portion of
over
of
a
mammals.
Fifth of mammal species
over a fifth
are bats.
Of mammal species. Yeah.
Wow. And you don't see many of them, really.
No. And I think this is what makes this kind of surprising, because we think of bats like you would say a dog, like it's like a specific animal, whereas I think bats is like a general term for the genus of them. It's like saying rodents, essentially.
Right.
So if I'd said there are over 1,000 species of rodents, that would sound less surprising. But we imagine bats as one singular species generally, maybe with a couple of different species, but
they all do look very similar, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I saw some bats.
That's a good one.
There's some bats on the route I walk back from the train station.
Mm.
And they're all circling around every time I go past. Fascinating. They come really low as well, just past your head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Are they pipistrelles, or how do you say it?
I have no idea what that means.
I think that's the most common species in the UK. We don't get vampire bats much.
Right, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. No, it's dark. I don't really know too much about bats, but I might have to increase my knowledge now that Alex is, you know.
What's your favorite species of bat?
Thousand species of bat.
What's your favorite species? This goes for everyone in the comments as well. What's your favorite species of bat?
This is quite likely to be a 1,000 species. The common brown bat is probably likely to be one. So the common brown bat.
That's your favorite
final answer. Yeah, the common brown bat.
Boo.
does it exist? common brown.
Well, that's a bit boring.
Bat. Little brown bat exists. Okay, that would do. Or just the brown bat.
Dylan Jerome in the comments says flying fox, and I think I've got to agree. That's probably my one. They're pretty cute. Mm. They're pretty cute, those ones.
Okay, I have to look them up. I remember the name. I remember doing bats in primary school. And
they're like fruit bats, aren't they? They're massive.
Ah, the big ones. You can cuddle them.
You can. I wouldn't recommend it.
We've got bats in the trees around where I live. You can see them on the summer when the sunset takes ages and the sky is still quite light. You can see them zipping past the windows. And in the morning, you know they've been around because they must fly into our windows because you get imprints and bat poo on the window panes. Because they're sonar, they just go boop and then poo themselves on our windows. But that's a fascinating fact.
So they're drawn to you in a way, Robin, you could say. Are you trying to tell us something? I've never seen you and Batman in the same room before.
I am Batman.
Harvey, I am Batman.
Yeah, Batman forever. Nice. Tell me, Doctor, do you like the circus?
Do you like the circus?
Sorry, that's not fair. We're taking the mickey out of his speech impediment, but still.
It's
quite funny.
Oh, it's the best line of the film.
It's one of the best lines.
It's boiling acid.
Holy rusted metal, Batman. What?
That's also good.
Anyway, Martin, excellent. What did you learn this week? What's your interesting fact?
I learned about bats. I learned about something about flags.
Okay.
So, most flags of the Union Jack on outside of the UK are colonies of the UK. It's places that we've been to.
Really?
And we've...
decide to adopt it because they liked us so much?
Well, you say this, and in most cases, the answer is no. Oh. Apart from in Hawaii, where, I need to get the name right.
Oh, okay.
King Kamehameha I.
Right.
Okay.
That sounds like you've nailed that pronunciation.
Any Hawaiians in the chat, please do let us know how Martin did.
He liked the flag, the design so much, and liked the British when the, you know, had a bit of a... bit of a, you know, good goings on, that he decided to adopt the flag of his very own volition, as opposed to it being put upon him. That's actually one of the only countries in the world
must be
who have done that. So that's my fact of the week. Short and short.
That is actually, that's really cool.
It kind of defeats the purpose of a flag, though, doesn't it? To like, you can't just pick and you can't just choose someone else's. It's like copying someone's homework. Can't just have it.
Yeah, but I guess he incorporated it into the flag, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not quite the same. But yeah. But I mean, to him, it was just a nice pattern, I guess.
Yeah, I just loved it.
Yeah. Well, that was cool. I feel sorry for all the countries who got their flags much later in life because they were colonized, obviously, and then they became nations as their borders, which is part of someone else's empire, and then they become independent, and it's like, we need our flag. And you're looking like whatever the catalogue of flags. The flag catalog, and then all the good ones are taken. We're going to do a yellow triangle on a red background. Nice.
Unless you're Mozambique and you just go, I'm going to shove an AK-47 on the flag.
Yeah.
It means peace and don't mess with us.
It definitely sends a message.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I learned something this week that was actually completely different. It was in the news, breaking news. You may have seen it yourselves. Scientists have discovered the largest known plant on Earth.
Oh, I did see this story, but I didn't click on it, Robin. I didn't click on it. I made
it. Didn't
mistake.
Click on it.
I scrolled too fast. Tell me about it.
It is underwater. It's seagrass. Ah. It's a kind of, I was going to say a colony, but it's not a colony. It's one plant. It's a field, a big field of seagrass off the Australian coast and Western Australia, and a meadow, that's the word I'm looking for. And scientists were doing a completely different study, and they were taking genetic samples of the grass all along the coast just to see how diverse the population was. And all their results taken at different points along the meadow came up with exactly the same genome. And they found it's exactly the same plant. Wow. And they believe it spread from a single seed at least 4,500 years ago. and it has grown to cover an area of 200 square kilometers, which is 77 square miles, roughly three times the size of Manhattan.
Wow, that is a big one
that
thing.
It is a massive
organism.
Thing. James Cameron would love that. Wow. Next Avatar movie will have that in it.
So what was the actual headline for this story? It's the largest living organism or largest
world's biggest plant. World's biggest plant, yeah.
Because I believe
good question about organism, yeah.
The largest I believe the largest organism is a type of fungus.
Yes.
You've been watching Debunked.
Have I? Does Debunked?
Yeah, did that come up in Debunked recently?
Yeah, it did.
Oh no, I do remember that. That is, yeah. Yeah. It also came up in a video I edited. Yes. or somewhere else.
Yeah, I think there's a documentary about fantastic fungi, wasn't there, as well, which talked about kind of, it's like a network of nerves, a nervous network of the roots that spreads through a forest in, is it in Russia or something?
Right. Okay.
I think it might be the US.
The US.
And it's quite interesting how they can, like, they use the roots to speak to each other and also help plants as well. And they have a kind of relationship, mutually benefiting relationship with the plants as well. They can speak to them using root networks.
Yeah,
it's
not
very
like,
interesting.
It's not quite like parasites, is it? But they do take nutrients from each other and kind of communicate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Really interesting. Some of the comments, just having a look. And Nuski says, I'm so happy to catch you guys live. Been subbed since the all-time days. Big love heart. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Angelos87 says, I keep missing the start lately, but you've made it. You've made it this time.
Ooh.
We haven't even got to the meat of the video yet. So well done.
I know.
And
you haven't turned the video off. I mean, when we go to the comments, there was a comment on, it was actually on quite an old video. It says, got 10 minutes sin. I think that's an error there. And still no content, just idle chat. Last time I'll be visiting. favorite comment of the week. So thank you for visiting. And hopefully this isn't the last time, despite the idle chat.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, but there are chapter links in the description. You know, you could skip to the main discussion if you wanted. Also,
it
was
gone,
a 90-minute podcast. What did you expect? He's gone. We've lost that guy. He'll never be back.
I thought
again.
The inane chat was the best thing about this podcast, but I mean, clearly.
I mean, it's the only thing about this podcast. It's the only thing. Doom sadly says, the only thing I've learned this week is that COVID can cause sore eyes and skin rashes because I've had both. Doom's got COVID. So sorry, mate. Hope you're doing all right. I hope it's not too bad. I hope that you recover soon.
Yeah. It's crazy how COVID, with everything going on, has seemed to just like, it's still very much present, it hasn't gone away, but it seems to have like just taken a back seat in terms of everyone's public consciousness. Do you think it's just kind of accepted as it's here to stay now kind of thing? We're in the endemic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But it's still scary.
Ooh. Yeah. Herr Astronauten Helm says, first time catching you live.
Welcome.
Woo.
Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, Doom says, the podcast is cheering me up. Thank you. I'm glad it is. We do our best. Sometimes we do better than other times, but we do our best.
If you catch our Patreon exclusive videos, I think they might depress you because they basically just turn into rants. Because we normally film them after the main podcast and we're a little bit more tired. So it just turns into political rants mainly.
But it tends to be, doesn't it? Most people say, oh yeah, head over to our Patreon for exclusive things that, you know, all risque, we're not allowed to say, we're not allowed to talk about on here. With us, it's kind of things that you probably wouldn't want to listen to on here. that's the difference.
We're selling it, Martin. We're selling it. Yeah.
So head on over.
Selling it hard.
Head on over. What were the latest? What are some of the latest ones we've done on the Patreon?
We discussed a reaction to the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial, which has literally
just concluded.
About 15 minutes before we went live, reached a verdict. And what was the word? The thing the judge just, like, not a sentence, obviously, because it's not a criminal trial.
She's whatever been sentenced to 20 years in the electric chair.
Amber Heard. Whatever the thing is, damages, awards, whatever. That's just been decided too. So, I mean, if people want to hear our reaction to the results of the trial, since we covered our reaction to the trial itself, then let us know. We'll do it on our Patreon and YouTube member exclusive videos.
Oh, a little interesting. You're not going to give us a little flavor now?
A little flavor now?
What's your initial reactions, you guys?
My initial reaction...
Should we save it?
All I can say is I'm very sorry for everyone involved.
It seems like an absolute shit show, the whole thing.
Yeah. It does, I bet, doesn't it?
That's kind of what I got from this. And I haven't been following it religiously, so I will have to have a bit of a look into what was said and done after this. But I've seen bits and pieces. But, I mean, I think there's definitely a distinct possibility of falling into the trap of following just either fans of one person or the other and what they want the outcome of the trial to be. But I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's discuss further.
Well, yeah, we can discuss it in more depth later for an exclusive video. Just had a comment from Hannes Hino. I hope I got that name right. Says, hey guys, first time I caught you live. Greetings from Estonia. Big fan of you guys and your podcast. Been a fan since forever. Oh, thank you. Thanks for joining us. Genuine question. Any particular reason this is the first time caught us live? Is it the timing? Is it that you got the notification? Because I know some people do. There seems to always be a comment or two that says, never got this notification, fellas. What's going on? We still haven't quite figured out what YouTube's doing there. So if you're worried about missing anything, please do click the bell notification icon if you haven't already subscribed. To see Dan. Thanks much. And it may work. Every time we upload a video, it also is linked to our Twitter. So you can follow us at JInterestingYT on Twitter, and you'll see a tweet with the link to the latest video or latest audio version of the podcast. And of course, if you subscribe to us on any podcast platform of your choice, you will get the full thing about a day or so after it's gone live on YouTube. Audio only, of course. But we will be... the main topic of conversation to be a separate video on YouTube, just for people who want to just get to the meat of the matter and not listen to us doing idle chat for I don't know how many 5 hours it's been. I'm not sure how long it's been.
He missed out.
But
did he though? Did he? No, he did.
So, are you ready? Are you ready to talk some Cuban goodness?
Yes,
I was born ready, Robert.
Yes, I. So, Fidel Castro, I was going to say famous, certainly iconic, probably infamous leader of Cuba since the 1950s when he led a revolution to overthrow the government and install communism. Mm-hmm. And a very classically militaristic style communism by the Soviet Union. And he, unlike the Soviet Union, he managed to preserve it until quite recently. And he... well, I was going to say something, but I spoiled. Point is, Cuba, close neighbor of America, known lovers of communism, very paranoid about having a communist nation on their borders, just a few miles away from their coastline. And of course, mainly because as an ally of the Soviet Union, it's a way for the Soviets to into America. Famously, there was the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, in which the Soviets planted intercontinental ballistic missiles with potential nuclear which could be aimed at the Americas. And there was a whole crisis, lasted 13 days, and the Americans and the Soviets and the Cubans managed to reach an agreement to remove the missiles from Cuba. I was going to say securing, but at least improving the security of the United States against the missile strike, Cold War. The best way, the Americans thought, or at least the CIA thought, to guarantee the security of the Americas was to get rid of Fidel Castro, to assassinate him. And in 2006, I believe, could have been a bit earlier. In 2006, Fabian Escalante, who was the former chief of security for Fidel Castro, published a book. And in it, that they foiled at least 634 attempts by the CIA to assassinate Fidel Castro. And in fact, number has gone up since then to 638. I don't know if you can see that. This is a really good documentary about it. I thoroughly recommend it. It's called Ways to Kill Castro. It's a fantastic documentary.
I love how bad they are at just killing someone.
I know, it's remarkable. It's right,
terrible. Like, how can you be that bad?
Also, and after like 100 attempts, do you think they would have got their heads together? Come on, guys, this is embarrassing. Like, we need to figure this out. Or do you think the attempts just got more and more desperate as they went along? So like the 638th attempt was just they sent Barry from HR, go and kill Fidel Castro. We're at the end of our tether here.
Well, also coincidentally, we decided to talk about this topic because we were interested in it. But as it happens, Fidel Castro's personal items are about to go in Jersey. And amongst those items are included his assassination prevention cigar box, which only he and his closest security touch, estimated to be worth about £30,000. Also, Che Guevara's, his close friend and ally, personal from the revolution, signed by Che Guevara, is also going on sale, but that's only going for about £10,000.
Oh, let's do a whip round.
Surprised, yeah.
We can do this.
Let's
do this.
Stretch goal on Patreon. That would be a worthwhile quiz trophy, I think.
We could absolutely. We could do it.
Or the assassination cigar box that we could win. That'd be lovely.
Yes, nice.
Season reward.
Oh, dear. So we thought we would discuss, we can't go through all of them, and we could, but it might take a long time, but we would discuss our favourite assassination methods that were the CIA attempted against Fidel Castro over the many years he was in power in Cuba. And so let's take it away. Martin,
yes.
What's your favorite method?
Well, my favorite relates to a seashell. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But anyway, Fidel Castro was very much known for his love of diving, of scuba diving in particular.
Right, yeah.
And what do scuba divers do when they're underwater and they're looking around? They go, okay, well, I'm going to look for marine wildlife, colourful marine wildlife. I'm going to look for maybe some Wellington boots that have been dropped in the ocean. You know, these are the useful things that are sometimes found in the sea. And they also look for colourful shells. Okay. So keep bear that in mind. The CIA, supposedly, what their plan was to find a shell or plant a shell big enough to house some explosives inside the shell and then paint it really colourful colours in the hope that Fidel Castro, like a toddler, would go, oh, my goodness, there's a bright blue, yellow and red shell that's painted by a five-year-old. and he would go, oh, this looks amazing. And he would go, oh, you know, dive down, go to the seafloor, pick up the shell, and boom, he's dead. That was the idea anyway. And then they realized that there were some issues with, of course, finding a shell big enough to house explosives, especially back in the 1960s. And also the fact that it may well not even pick up the shell. The fact that, of course, water moves things around on the ocean, you might end up getting a fish that swims into the shell and blows it up. So there were a few drawbacks to this. So they decided not to go with this particular method. So it was scrapped, actually. But I just thought that was amazing that they would think that if they painted a shell colourful enough, that El Castro would his eyes would light up, come out to the bottom and it would break into bits. That's probably my favorite.
That's amazing.
This has got to be lower down on the list at that point. This has got to be like attempt number 600. Paint some shell. Clams.
It's basically someone from the CIA came back from their kids' preschool. It was like, oh, that's a painted shell. The kids love that, don't they? They're all over those painted shells these days. You know what? We could transfer that to Fidel Castro. He loves shells. You know who else loves shells? Fidel Castro.
Shells.
Notoriously loves shells.
He just be scuba divers. All scuba divers love shells. Everyone knows that.
I mean, in fairness, if that had worked, then that would have been crazy. That would have been insane.
Yeah.
Couldn't have looked like an accident, though, could it?
No, it's no Steve Irwin.
If it had worked, I mean, the whole Cuban nation would have been shell shocked.
Oh, hello.
Ding, ding. I'm here all week. Here Very all week. Good.
Joke off the Very podcast. Good. Let's shut it down now. Let's just
drop the mic. Boom.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, also relevant.
Yeah, very good. We'll get there. it's amazing. I mean, it makes sense, right? But the CIA clearly did a massive psychological and habitual behavioral profile of Fidel Castro to come up with some of these methods, because my method also involves his love of diving. But it's similarly weird, though. I mean, weird or inventive, I can't quite decide. And this was something that they didn't know about until 2016, when it was finally declassified, almost by accident, I think. But it involved James Donovan, who's a US lawyer, who was played by Tom Hanks in the film Bridge of Spies. Did you see that?
Oh, I haven't seen that film.
I didn't actually. No.
Really good, actually. Good Spielberg movie. Good Cold War thriller. I recommend it. I enjoyed it. But what I didn't realize is that the same guy who was involved in negotiating the release of hostages in East Germany in the 1960s also went to Cuba to negotiate with Fidel Castro to release hostages left over from the Bay of Pigs invasion from 1961, I want to say. Or was it 1960? 60, I think.
Bay of Pigs, yeah.
Bay of Pigs. I think it was 1960, because at the very beginning of JFK's presidency, which was a notorious CIA-led operation to get a lot of Cuban exiles who had fled Cuba when Fidel Castro took over and gone to Florida and wanted to return to their own country. And the idea was the CIA would train them up in their thousands and then invade Cuba, but it went disastrously wrong. The Cubans knew it was happening and they all got trapped on the beach basically and captured. And there are about 1,100 of them. And so the US sent this lawyer, James Donovan, to Cuba to negotiate the release of the hostages.
Mm. It was the 17th to 20th of April, 1961. Just
oh, 61. Good. Okay. And during the negotiations, James Donovan met with Fidel Castro in person and discovered that they had a mutual love of diving. So Donovan said, I'm going to get Fidel Castro a diving suit as a gift. And little did he know that everything he said and did with Fidel Castro was being noted, and the CIA was watching every single move. Yeah. And they thought, he's going to give him a diving suit. How about we our own diving suit for the diving suit that Donovan is going to give Fidel Castro? And what we'll do is we will lace the diving suit with bacteria, specifically tuberculosis.
Oof.
Yeah, nasty.
Wow.
And Madura foot fungus.
Sounds like a remedy for foot fungus.
It does. I don't know what it does.
Yeah. Like, presumably, that clears my foot fungus right
off. TB is bad, but
TB is really bad.
It's not a death sentence, is it?
I assume the foot fungus is fatal, because otherwise, like, we're gonna get rid of his foot. We're gonna really do it. Yeah,
won't be able to walk now. Yeah.
So the CIA had this plan. They had the diving suit. They laced it with the bacteria, and of course, apart from the whole assassination side of things, which is obviously highly immoral, what's complicated here is that James Donovan, the American citizen, would have been giving the diving suit to Fidel Castro and carrying it in his luggage and not realizing that it was laced with tuberculosis foot fungus. Yeah. So he himself might have been affected by it just by handling the thing. Didn't come to fruition, sadly, because a lawyer for the CIA who was in contact with Donovan throughout these negotiations said, by the way, make sure you buy your own diving suit because I don't trust the CIA.
Yeah.
And then later
he'd heard about the clams. He'd heard about
clams. He knew what they were doing. And a few, many years later, Richard Helms, who was eventually the director of the CIA, he testified to Congress, I think, about these assassination methods, and he said the diving suit never left the lab.
Right.
It was ready to go, but Donovan was all about the diving suit after being warned by this other lawyer at the CIA.
What was the idea? I imagine the idea with these particular methods, TB and this fungus, is that they're things that can be, they do have another origin. Like, they could have laced it with, I don't know, lace the around the mouth with cyanide, but of course then it could come back that he'd been poisoned, and then who did it? Who
or
done
ricin.
It?
full breaking pants.
Yeah. That must be, it is an odd one, TB. I mean, it's a slow one. Maybe that's what they're thinking, because it's obviously very deadly, but also it's slow enough that maybe they were hoping it would take enough time, wouldn't suspect the CIA for doing it, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps.
But you think there are much more potent things they could do. Some poison that would be soaked through the skin, or, you know, the TB, I think, was put into the breathing apparatus. I don't know if it was a scuba suit or a tank, an air tank thing.
Right.
But if whatever disease they put into his air supply would get into his body, right? So,
yeah.
Number of things, but nasty. They chose TB and foot fungus.
So random.
I know. I hope the papers are fully available. I haven't checked, but I would love to see if the explanation for that. You know, like, we chose foot fungus because of all these reasons. We considered it better than all these other more deadly diseases like cholera and stuff like that. You know.
I mean, this was the 60s after all. So maybe the people in the CIA, they were, you know, they were enjoying some drugs at this point. They were... they were just coming up with all sorts of crazy ideas. What if we exploded some clams?
Someone's like, how about we lace his stuff with LSD? The other one's like, no, man, because then our supply will go down.
Exactly, yeah.
Use the foot fungus, dude.
Yeah, like 638 ideas. How many of these were like just chilled out, smoking?
Yeah.
Just on a piece of scrap on the back of a fag packet.
I wonder if there was someone, the same person in charge. This is a sideline, sorry, but you know, is it always the same guy in charge of assassinating Fidel Castro? You know, and at what point, when does he be like, what am I doing with my life? Like, this is just not working.
It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. Like, I just tried to assassinate him. Oh, at the end, it's always a fail. Yeah. Oh, maybe next time.
And how do you justify it to his bosses? He's like, with report 150, we came close, but no cigar. And the, and the bosses are like,
next time.
Right. Yeah, next time we'll do that. Yeah. So yeah, Alex, what was your favorite one?
My favorite one was my favorite one because it's the one that I could see being turned into a film if it wasn't already a film.
Oh, okay. It's very
James Bond, you've got to say. Who's the director who said that all you need to make a successful film is a girl and a gun?
I don't know.
Anyway, so this story involves...
It was me.
A girl and a gun. A woman named Marita Lorenz, who was Fidel Castro's scorned lover turned anti-communist militant. Bit of background.
That sounds complicated.
It's a bit complicated, this one, but so she's a German-American woman born in 1939, and following the war, her mother worked at the OSS, the precursor to the CIA, while her father operated a line of cruise ships. And Marita Lorenz worked on these ships in her late teens, and it was there that she first met Fidel Castro. And according to her account of the events, she was 19, working on this cruise ship called the MS Berlin with her father. And they pulled into the Havana harbor when Castro and his men pulled up, wanting to be let aboard. Mm. And for Lorenz, it was love at first sight. After giving him a tour of the boat, she apparently lost her virginity to him in one of the boat's private rooms. Don't get crude. This is her own account.
It's a family show.
Imagine kissing that beard. Oh, it's horrible.
Hey, some people like beards, right, Martin?
Yeah, I love them.
Because we've both got beards.
That beard. Your beards are lovely, fellas. Your beards are trim and they're stylish and they look like they tickle in just the right way when making love. But his beard, it's like a bush. It's not that kind of bush. Yeah. Like a hedge.
Stop.
Thanks.
Just stop,
please.
So anyway, back to the story. They had this long love affair. Castro flew her to Havana on his private jet. Eventually, however, Lorenz became pregnant, and it's a bit unclear how many pregnancies she had, but it's also not entirely clear whether Castro was the father of her son. There's no concrete evidence to suggest that a child was born over the course of their affair. And apparently in 1959, when she was 7 months pregnant, Castro stated that he wanted no involvement in the pregnancy or with the baby, and she was apparently drugged by one of his aides and woke up in a hospital with an abortion having been performed on her while she was unconscious.
So following this,
she turned on him. She went back to Manhattan, where her mother, a CIA double agent called Frank Sturgis, sorry, that sounded weird. Her mother and Frank Sturgis recruited her to work with the CIA under various anti-Castro groups. And she was convinced to assassinate Castro here. After undergoing weeks of training and coaching, she boarded a plane back to Havana under the guise of handling personal matters in the winter of 1960. And she had armed with her poison pills. And her mission was to meet with Castro long enough to drop the capsules into his drink. And if she succeeded, he would have been dead in under a minute. However, according to her own account, she says, "I knew the minute I saw the outline of Havana, I couldn't do it." And also, even if she'd wanted to kill him, she had apparently botched the job. She had stashed the pills in a cold cream jar that had made them gunky and unusable. So
a cold cream jar.
Yeah.
Presumably, yeah, like moisturizer or something.
I think so. Something like that.
I wonder what, as soon as I saw Havana, I knew I couldn't do it.
Mm.
I wonder why.
Well, anyway, I think she confessed to Fidel Castro when she was, speaking with him in person that she had been assigned to kill him. And apparently, according to her, he leaned over, pulled out his 45 and handed it to me. So he handed her a gun and said, he didn't even flinch. He said, "You can't kill me. Nobody can kill me." And he smiled, chewed on his cigar, and she felt deflated. He was so sure of her. And then he grabbed her and they made love, apparently. So there you go.
That's romantic, really.
That does sound quite Bondy, doesn't it? Kind of forced romance.
I mean, yeah, that sounds tribe. Like it. Yeah, I could see that being a great film, a great espionage drama.
Yeah, I mean, even for Bond, the forced abortion element is it's a little bit dicey, even for like
that 60s Bond, really, 60s,
70s Bond. Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It kind of undercuts the romance of it a little bit. Yeah, I think.
I mean, there are some other attempts to kill Castro. We've only scratched the surface here, famously, and we kind of hinted at it, but we haven't actually mentioned it. It was the exploding cigar.
Of course, yeah.
Which literally sounds like that's a joke. That's a joke. I can't believe
that is a Bond.
They thought that would be
a cue laugh there.
This cigar tastes surprisingly waxy and is twice the size of my normal ones. What is this? And the fuse. There's a fuse. Yeah, I don't know how they thought they'd get away with that.
What is that?
What's that hissing sound? What is that mysterious ticking noise? And then they also, apparently there was a poison pen, literally a poison pen, again, sounds like fiction, that they were going to hide a syringe inside a pen, which a bribed Cuban official was going to inject into Castro when he got close to him. But apparently that was abandoned because they approached the Cuban official about it, and the Cuban official looked at the pen and said, "Well, that's a bit crap. That's not going to work. Don't you have anything more sophisticated?" were his words.
What are you doing with the ballpoint? Come on.
And then, what are the attempts?
Just a dick.
Famous examples to do whatever. Yeah. Mm. Oh, dear. Yeah, it's transparent. It's like, yeah, I can see the needle, mate. It's quite obvious. It's hidden in here. Come on, guys, come up with something else.
Nice.
Yeah, and then hundreds more, and hopefully someone's written a book which just lists and goes through them one by one. We'll have to look it up, and maybe we'll make another episode about some other favorite methods.
I would just like to call out Doom's comment in the chat. He says, "What have you guys seen the theory that Justin Trudeau, Canada's prime minister, is Castro's secret son?" This is one of my favorite conspiracy theories.
They
love it.
Similar.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, essentially it boils down to they look similar. And also I think Justin Trudeau's dad was the former prime minister of Canada. who, and I think he was like good, close personal friends with Fidel Castro. Uh-huh. And him and his wife would visit often on occasion. And I think the theory goes that they were either in a kind of open relationship with Fidel Castro, or Fidel Castro was having an affair with his wife. And
I mean, from the story you just told us, Alex, it sounds completely plausible that she would just see Fidel and be like, oh, get
it was
me
love
now.
At first sight, Robin. Yeah, love at first sight. That hedge beard just sealed the deal. I'm wondering if I could actually just get a picture of, I mean, no, YouTube won't like it. I want to get a picture up just so we can see the comparison side by side.
Castro and Pluto. It's
pretty compelling.
Yeah, they're resemblance, don't they? And wasn't there I'm getting confused here, but wasn't there a thing about Trump accused Ted Cruz's dad of, was it assassinating JFK for Castro? Was that what it was?
Trump accused Ted Cruz's dad of assassinating.
Yeah, in the presidential campaign in 2016, what? Didn't Trump accuse Ted Cruz's dad of being involved in the JFK assassination purely on the grounds that he's of Cuban descent? I think.
Wow.
I think that's what it was.
Excellent.
I mean, not true, obviously. Whatever you think of Ted Cruz, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it's insane.
I put something.
Although Ted Cruz kind of looks a bit like Fidel Castro.
Hang on, I'll put it over here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Those pictures on screen. For those of you listening to this podcast, Alex has put up some fantastic side-by-side comparisons of a young Fidel Castro without a beard, presumably a teenager, next to Justin Trudeau, and an older bearded Castro against a slightly older Trudeau. And yeah. It's quite a strong resemblance.
I think he looks a lot like what's the dude's name? Is it Paul Dano? Paul Dano?
Oh yeah,
Paul Dano. Yeah,
there is a resemblance there. Yeah,
I think especially the picture of the one on the right looks well like him.
I think Fidel Castro with a beard looks like Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson as well. Yeah,
I can see that. See that.
I want Liam Neeson to play Fidel Castro with his. With his grumbling Irish accent. My name's Fidel Castro.
I will have your wife.
I have a particular set of skills.
Thing about this theory, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think the main flaw in it, if memory serves, is that the dates don't quite add up unless someone's been fudging how old Justin Trudeau is.
Which is possible.
Visited, but... Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they met. Maybe there's a secret liaison that we don't know about.
That's
possible.
True. Possible.
Because I think Castro famously never left Cuba. Is that true? One of the reasons he was so hard to kill. And so unless he made a secret incognito trip to Canada, that nobody knows about. The dates don't match up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
an interesting man, though. An interesting man, and
Castro.
Yeah, and Liam Neeson as well, obviously, and Justin Trudeau.
We should address, did any of these assassination attempts succeed? Because we still don't know, actually, what killed Fidel Castro.
What's the official story of how he died? Because I just assumed it was like old age or something related to
He did die at the age of 90 in 2016 at 10:30 in the evening. According to the official statement from the government, which was taken over by his brother. However, no cause of death was given.
I mean, even if it was the CIA, is that really a win for them? Like, is that a win column?
They got 90-year-old Castro after, 50 years, 60 years of power. Yeah.
I always said attempt number 387 would be the one.
So yeah, they had a massive parade. Apparently, it was like 900-kilometer long march with his coffin before he was cremated. So we'll never be able to exhume the body and examine it. All we have, unless the Cubans got some top secret files, which someday may be made public, we'll never know.
No. Crazy.
Yeah.
That was actually the last assassination technique proposed by the CIA. Number 931. old age. How about we bide our time, guys?
Hear me out.
Let's just wait him out. We'll still be here. He won't be.
Beautiful.
So yeah.
Amazing.
Wonderful. Well, gents, if you're done with Castro, I do have a quiz for you. If you're up for it.
Yeah.
And I'm up for it, Martin.
I don't have the technology to tally up people's scores, but do keep your scores on record. Let us know how you're doing. And we'll try and keep a record here, regardless. Okay. It might not be on screen, but we'll keep a record.
Okay. We are there. We're ready to do the quiz.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Nice.
Okay then, guys. So before we start the quiz, we need your buzzers.
Buzzers.
Okay.
Alex.
Is this Liam Neeson's Fidel Castro hosting? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought, as it's been a while, I thought I'd go back to a classic.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Beautiful. Of course, Orson Welles. Drunk Wonderful. Orson Welles.
Absolutely beautiful. Wonderful Orson Welles. I've also gone for a classic. A modern classic.
Wants to make contact. If anyone is in these woods, show yourselves.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Fantastic. What I love about you using that buzzer, Robin, is you don't just play that section. You let it run as the quiz goes on. So I hear different parts of it all the time. It's fantastic.
I love it. I genuinely love it. And thank you for letting me use it all this time, Alex. You're a good sport.
Okay. With that one in particular, it has to be done. You've got to play the different bits. You can't just keep on going back to the same point. Yeah. You want the monologue? You want the
whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah. Whole thing. Nice. Okay. Question number one.
No.
Good to go. Ready? Ready?
Ooh, I think I'm so ready. Okay. And I'm, oh yeah. Wait, hang on. Sorry. No, I'm not ready. I should say, let me just get rid of the YouTube. And also, I feel like we should say that, isn't it the first three comments that get the question right?
They can score a point.
Sounds good. Yeah. Nice. Okay. What year did Roger Hargreaves publish the first Mr. Men book?
Oh, what?
The French champagne.
We'll go for closest wins on this one.
Is this the first? Thank you. Is this closest wins?
Yeah. Within reason.
Okay. I know nothing about the Mr. Men.
Within 10 years, let's published. Say.
I'm going to say 1979.
Okay.
Damn.
Any advance on 1979?
Contact.
Contact. I have a horrible feeling Alex is closer, but... I read them as a child, and I have a vague memory of discovering they've like been around since the 60s. So since we've been talking about the 60s, I'm going to go for the year of the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962.
So you've gone for 1962, and Alex, you've gone for 1979.
I think so, yes.
I bet they're an 80s thing. I bet they are.
It is. Martin's trying to figure out.
71. So Alex, you are first by 1 year.
Oh, and Robin, like that was well very honourable of you to.
Yeah.
You could have just gone one lower, but you chose not to, and I respect that.
Oh, well, thank you. It's all about your respect, Alex. That's what I'm prioritising in my life, earning your respect.
Oh.
There we go. So it is 1-0 to Alex, and in the comments we have. 82, I think that's a little bit too far off. It's outside of 10 years. 99 and then 97. So I'm not going to give any points for that. I don't think.
Oh, harsh.
It's outside of 10 years. If you're more than a decade off, I don't think there's any points for that. Right. Question number two. Name four of the five girls mentioned in Lou Beggar's Mambo Number 5.
In these words, show yourselves.
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Action, please, I heard first, I think.
What?
Oh, really?
Was that right? Okay. Oh, sorry.
I think Robin.
Oh, have I messed up there? Okay.
I heard Robin's buzz before.
That's very honourable of you, Alex. Thank you. If you're sure.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure okay. You got them there first.
Well, if you don't mind, Martin, I shall try to recite the lyrics.
Okay.
It was named four of the five, was it?
Name four of the girls in Mamba number five. There's more than five.
Oh, okay.
There's
right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. So
plenty of options.
A little bit of Monica.
Oh, you have to start from the beginning. Bump, bump, a little bump, bit bump, bump, bump. 1, 2.
A little bit of Rita is all I see. A little bit of Tina's what I need. Yeah. A little bit of Sandra in the Sun. A little bit of Mary All Night Long. A little bit of Jessica Here I Am. A little bit of You Makes Me Your Man.
Well done. You've got the chorus ones. So yeah. that is
there's a point. More?
Bravo.
Wow. Well, there's the beginning where he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
One, two, three, four, five. Everybody in the
house. Come on, let's
drive. To the liquor store around the corner. Yeah.
A little
boys want to get some gin and juice, but I really don't want a beer burst like I did last week. Yeah.
I've got Angela. I've got Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita.
And as I continue, they're only getting sweeter.
And then there's the chorus with the ones you mentioned as well.
So I didn't know you guys were such big fans of Lou Bega.
I'm a massive fan of his Mamba number five, and I always have been. And also the four subsequent songs that had the exact same tune and just changed the lyrics.
Yeah, 1 + 1 = 2 is literally the same.
One plus one is two.
It's the exact same tune. Yeah.
The irony of him ripping the song in the first place and then repeating that four times. madness. Okay, how do people get on? So we've got Jessica, Sarah, Maria, and Rita. There's no Sarah either. Monica, Amber. I mean, my goodness, this is quite something. Monica, Amber, Jessica, Tina, and Rita. Okay, so he's got Monica, Jessica, Tina, and Rita. So that is a point for Dylan Jerome.
Wow. Oh, well done. Well nice. Done.
Well done, Dylan.
And so does Robin.
Thank you. And Alex, would you have got four of them?
Do you know what? I don't know. I knew Monica, obviously, and it would have come down to whether I could remember the lyrics. But as you were saying them, I was struggling so to keep up. I'm not as familiar with the lyrics of that song. I just
Yeah.
I get confused with the other ones. They're so similar. I get confused with 1 + 1 = 2.
His other songs.
What's the third one? What's his?
I've got a girl.
I've got a girl in Paris. Have you even got a girl in the Vatican? No. Which is great because it's like
it's all men.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Question number three. Changing tone here. But which country has won the most football World Cups? And there's a bonus point if you can guess first time how many they've won. There's a bonus point.
Alex is in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Brazil.
Yeah, okay. That's my thing. Yeah.
How many they've won? I'm going to guess 6.
You get 1 point for Brazil. It's 5.
Only one off.
Very good. That's a point for you there, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Well done. And we had four people who said Brazil in time. Daily Dose of Science, Doom, and Recu 97.
Nice. Well
Who's
done.
The second most highest wins? Because I was
my next question.
Germany 4.
I was debating between Germany and Brazil. I know nothing about football. I don't know why I was debating between those two.
I feel like Germany often, both of them often make it to the final, right? There's usually one of them in the final. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Nice one. Well done. Good. Okay, question number five. Question number four. According to John Lennon and Paul McCartney, who comforts them in times of trouble?
Is Dick Turpin here? Is Dick Turpin in?
It's not Dick Turpin.
It's not Dick Turpin.
Robin, so who comforts John Lennon and Paul McCartney in times of trouble?
Yeah, when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.
Yes.
I believe.
Mother Mary. Yes, congratulations. That is correct.
Do you know who Mother Mary is in the song?
Oh, mate, it's just Mother Mary, mate. You know, you don't need to know.
Well, here's the thing. I was disappointed to learn because there's a book of song lyrics and Paul McCartney explaining the story behind the songs. And I'd always assumed all my life for many decades, I'm not going to say how many, that it was, you know, a Catholic religious thing because he's obviously Liverpudlian Irish Catholic. But no, in the background, it's like, yeah, my mum's name's Mary.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Literally, as mum.
Of course. Of course it would be religious, but it's it's not. Wow.
It's not actually. Yeah.
And well done, Alex, for giving himself a point when Robin just scored one. Fantastic. Two all.
Hey, how many questions?
3-1. It's 3-1, Robin. 3-1 to Robin, I think.
Wait, no, it's not.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
How many questions have we done?
You got the World Cup. Sorry.
Yeah, Alex got the World Cup.
I accept your apology.
Sorry, apologies.
Just because I'm in charge of the scores, although now that you've said it, I think I do deserve at least one more.
No, you're right. That's right. You got Brazil, but you didn't get the number correct.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so he could be on an extra point, but he didn't quite get it. Thankfully. Phew.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is Doom got a point there. Doom got a point in time. Doom. So Doom's on 2 points. And Bush says Mary, which just Mary. I think it's specific.
Is that an answer to Mary, the question, or is it a question for the chat?
As in, like, who is Mary?
Mary, yeah, I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point for Mary. That'll do. Okay, nice one. So two all. Okay, question
it's gonna
number
be tight.
Five. This is true or false. SpongeBob was originally called Starbob. Yes. Alex.
False.
Damn it.
It is false.
These words.
Do you know? You know what he was called?
Originally, there was an original name. Oh, do you know what? I have heard this before, and I can't guess it, but it was something equally ridiculous. But yeah, no, I
it was SpongeBoy.
SpongeBoy.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Huh.
But apparently there was a cleaning sponge that had that copy. So they had to go for SpongeBob. SpongeBoy. So there we go.
Originally, he was Square Trousers, but. Square Trousers was a brand as well.
Okay, so who got that one? I imagine that some people probably got that one, didn't they? So false was Doom again. Well done. Very good. On to 3 points. As was Dylan Jerome and Nusky.
Nice.
So Dylan Jerome's on 2 points, and Nusky, I believe, gets their first point of the quiz. Sweet.
Very
cool.
Nice.
Question number six.
Hang on. Yep.
Okay. Oh yeah. Make sure you're ready.
Got to get the right point of the Orson Welles drunk.
Nice. A Buddha's hand is a type of what?
Oh, what? Sorry.
A Buddha's hand.
Champagne has always been celebrated.
Yes.
That would be a Buddha's hand is a type. Oh, okay. I've done the thing. I buzzed in. I have no idea. A limb, technically. It's a type of limb. So.
Yeah, I can see. Where you're coming from there.
Half a point.
You don't get a point for that. I'm thinking of something very specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Is Dick Turpin in these woods? Show yourself.
Did you pause it after show your and then?
Accidentally, yes, it is. Yeah.
Self. Works well.
Show your self. I don't know the answer. I've got two possible answers, but they're just shots in the dark. So I'm trying to think which one. I'm going to go for, is it a type of card deal?
It's not, but I like your thinking.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I could go for a clue maybe on this one. Unless you think we could get it, Martin.
I think you could probably deduce what it might be. Okay, I'm going to say, what shall I say? It is a category of natural life. So that's quite good, right?
Is it a type of plant?
It is. Not a type of plant. Not really.
No. Not really?
Not really. That's a bit of a clue then. It's not a type of plant.
I'm not sure what that...
Champagne has always been...
Is it If it's not a type of plant, is it a type of fungus?
Ooh.
It is not a type of fungus.
Thinking like those creepy finger mushroom contact? Things, maybe it's something like that.
Yeah, it's fungus definitely. You say, sorry, I buzzed in, is that all right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you said it's not really a type of plant.
Hmm.
So is it a type of fruit?
Bingo, yes.
Yeah.
It's a fruit. It's a fruit. Nice. And I implore you to Google it. It's a weird looking fruit.
Does it look like Buddha's hand? The kind of piece
Buddha
gesture
has like
thing.
30 fingers, then maybe. But yes, it's a citrus fruit. meant to supposedly originate from India.
Oh, yeah,
but
there we go.
Oh, my gosh.
More commonly seen in China, apparently.
It looks like a squid or something.
Yeah, it's really weird, isn't it?
Put this on the stream. Let's get a Buddha's hand going.
So it's yellow. It's bright yellow. It's kind of squid-like. It's got all these like tentacles going out the bottom.
Yeah, it's taken over the whole stream.
Whoa! It's Cthulhu. Yellow Cthulhu.
Buddha's hand.
Really,
there you go.
Really quite weird. Weird. Would you eat that?
How do you eat it? Do you like snap them off like bananas? Or
I don't know. Well, it looks meant to be a bit like a lemon. So I don't know. If you chop up the different bits, but that's really quite unnerving, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look a bit like a lemon.
Yeah, the end of it, yeah. It looks like a lemon that's got some kind of alien parasite growing.
Yeah,
into it.
Yeah.
Okay,
it definitely looks like a small has been chopped off.
A small
all,
one's
their,
been chopped.
All their hair is.
Yeah.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah.
And in the comments, Matt Quick said an Asian tree bearing fruit meant to be quite good smelling, isn't it? Just quite specific. Oh. That's unnervingly specific.
Yeah, he's
someone
looked
knows.
That up on Wikipedia.
Someone knows. That's not fair.
So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but if you're cheating, we will find you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Matt. No, I'm sure you just know a lot about it.
So Matt gets a point there. Very good, very good. Okay, cool. And Peter Kazsol says fruit ? So yeah, why not? Well, Peter,
that counts.
You can have one of those too. Well done, well done. Would people go for that? Would you eat it? I mean, if you chop it up, it looks like you're not going to eat the whole thing whole, are you?
But like, if it's kind of lemony, I wouldn't eat a lemon. So
no,
not really. Like,
yeah, you'd grate a bit of it into or squeeze it into your drink or something. Yeah,
yeah. If I could put it in a cocktail or something, why not?
If it were presented to me, the whole thing in the cocktail, the giant glass. Yeah. If they presented it to me deep fried on a plate, I would, and you know, I didn't speak the local language, I would assume it was a seafood and therefore I wouldn't eat it. Yeah. But if someone said, oh, it's a fruit, I'd be like, oh, okay.
So if someone came up and said it's a deep fried lemon type thing, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Sounds awful.
I'm not sure you know what a lemon is, mate.
Okay. Question number 7. What is the name given to someone born with extra fingers or toes?
Oh.
That sounds like all kinds of rude answers are expected.
Well, I mean, my mind didn't go there, Robin, but I'm happy to know that yours did.
We know Martin's a racist, so it's like, what kind of name is given to a freak? I don't know.
If anyone is in these woods, show yourselves.
Honestly, don't know. So, extra digital.
So that's on a radio station.
105.4. Extra digital. I get where you're coming from though. Like, I was thinking digits, extra something.
Yeah.
Any ideas, Alex?
Is it is it Morbius? No, that's just the name of
Morbius.
Oscar contender of the year. No, I have no idea, Martin.
The answer is polydactyl.
Oh, I've actually heard that.
Polydactyly. It's a weird.
Pterodactyls.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. odd pronunciation, but some people did get it in the comments. Or
really?
You know,
granted, spelling might be off. Jill and Jerome, congratulations again. That's a
well done.
That's smart.
Third point. Jimmy Sprinkles, first point. Well done.
Great name.
As did Daily Dose of Science.
Oh, nice.
Also a great name.
Oh, well done.
Well, I'm glad Daily Dose of Science knew the answer because that seems appropriate for the name.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. Very good.
Well done.
And Anglo-Saxon Warrior says, Martin, Alex and Robin, which football team do you support? So there we go. Alex, you first.
I'd be lying if I said I supported any, really, which is a lame answer, I know. My family supports Arsenal, so if people ask me, if I'm in with a group of football-loving people, I'd say Arsenal, but I would not be able to back that claim up with anything.
I'm in the same situation. I would support England rugby. Yeah.
In a football match.
I always support the ref because they've got the hardest job.
Oh, horrible. I was a linesman at a local football match once and some guy came up to me and started shouting. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm a volunteer here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I said that if he did it again, I'd walk off. And he didn't He didn't do it again. So it was like,
nice.
To be fair, I made a terrible decision. But that's not the point.
What was your decision? Did you award a goal that shouldn't have been awarded?
It was offside. It was clearly offside. And I didn't flag because I wasn't really watching.
I still don't understand the offside.
Still, you don't shout the linesman.
Don't know
I support Newcastle, by the way.
You're a Newcastle supporter, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Oh, interesting. Oh. Yeah.
Why? What's the connection?
I loved Alan Shearer growing up.
Yeah.
Big Shearer fan. Right. Enough of that nonsense. On to number 8. And this could be in Fingers on Buzzers one, this one.
Okay.
What colour suit does Jim Carrey's character wear in the film The Mask?
Did anyone die here?
I heard a
Yeah.
Alex?
Is it... Oh, my God. I'm going to kick myself if I've got
How do you not know?
Is it not like a mustardy yellow colour?
Is mustardy yellow your final answer?
Yes.
Mustardy yellow is your final answer. Very specific.
Yeah, you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. It really is a bright yellow.
Yeah, I'd say yellow. I say more like banana yellow than mustard. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I need to look this up.
People in the comments were mental and also green.
His face is green.
I mean, I'm not going colour. It was yellow, right?
Yeah.
It is yellow, yeah. No, his face
and
his
he
face
had
is
a he had a like a zebra pattern tie, didn't he?
Yeah,
white and black tie, which when it was cut off turned into his pajama fabric, which was brown paisley.
It's interesting. In some pictures, I am seeing it as banana yellow, but then in others, maybe like the screenshots of the film, I'm seeing it as like a washed out kind of more mustardy thing.
Yeah,
but it is just yellow.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to justify it.
Back on the.
Standard definition with the lines going across. Come on.
Okay, so green, no purple. Green.
Oh, hang on.
Purple? People think he was wearing purple.
Or maybe purple. People are going mental here. And then Peter says, 20s yellow/green. Oh, that's just confused me.
Yeah, that's 20s yellow.
You can try and justify yourself here, Peter, if you want to try and get the
point. There's a kind of 1940s style to him.
I've looked up 1920s style. Yellow.
Yeah.
Is that a particular shade of yellow?
I think it is the style, maybe, the 20s is referring to, which, fair enough, it is.
Yellow slash green.
He's got a green face.
Everyone else got it so wrong that you can have it.
Yeah, genuine question for the chat. Is it because people can't remember the suit, or is it because not many of you have seen The Mask recently?
Is this a Mandela effect?
I haven't seen it recently.
I don't know. I just feel like growing up, it's such an iconic thing, The Mask. I'm surprised people are forgetting the yellow suit. Because there was the whole cartoon as well, and the comics it was based on.
And the Son of the Mask. That and the Son of the Mask. Classic.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That's... Oh.
Yeah.
I always like the bit where he gets those kind of metal thugs in the alleyway and he becomes like a showman and he does the animal, the balloon shapes. Yeah. He's like, what would you like? And a poodle. He's like, makes the poodle and then bursts it. It's like, sorry, dog was rabid. Had to put it down. And I love that.
It is very good. I haven't seen it improve up.
And now for my personal favorite, a Tommy gun.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Nice.
40. So 4-3 to Alex, and we're coming to the 10 in this quiz.
He's got it. He's got it.
Plenty of time. You can still do it. Right?
Okay. No. Question number 9.
It's all need to be.
What is the third most populated country in the world?
Up in here? The French. Is Dick Turpin Champagne in these woods?
Now, I did hear. I heard up in here.
Yay!
You shouting, so I'm going to go with Robin for this one, but I think it was quite...
That's very kind. Thank you. Yeah. So, good. Obviously, China and India are the top. I'm going to go for Nigeria.
Okay. You're going to go for Nigeria, and you're going to be wrong.
No!
Ooh.
Ready for its excellence.
I think I know what you're referencing there, Robin, because wasn't it a question before where it was like, what's going to be the most populated country?
By 2100.
And it's thought Nigeria was going to be.
Okay, I'm getting confused,
Oh my God, I don't know which one it's going to be. I'm going to say Brazil.
It's not Brazil.
Why did I think Brazil?
Brazil's known for its big population.
Yeah. It's a big population. Yeah. Brazil is seventh, by the way.
Seventh, okay.
Right, that's not even close.
215 million as of 2022.
There must be. Okay, wait, so you got...
Is that allowed?
Champagne has always been...
How does that work?
You both had a guess, haven't you?
So is that recent?
Yeah.
Can I just say the United States?
United States of America. It is the United States of America.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It is. It goes.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, China, now India, USA.
Well, I hate to win like that because it feels like I've cheated with a double guess.
No, don't worry about it.
Those are the rules.
Those aren't rules.
No, that's interesting because that's quite a gap then between because India and China are both well over a billion, but America is 400 million?
So according to worldpopulationreview.com, the 2022 population for China is 1.448 billion, India 1,406 million, and the United States 334.
Oh my God! Wow!
Oh wow! That's a huge gap.
Insane. Less than a quarter.
Yeah.
Of those other two, but yeah, there's a huge gap there. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty mental, but it's about the growth rates that we'll see the biggest changes in the future. Like, out of the top 20, the two biggest are Democratic Republic of Congo and Nigeria as the two, which is why it's projected that Nigeria will be the most populated country by 2100.
Right.
Those are the huge growth rates.
See, I just came back from the future, guys, and I just got a bit confused, you know.
Nice.
There we go. So, who got that? Anglo-Saxon warrior. Congratulations. I think you're the only person, actually, this time. So, well done.
Mm. Oh, well done, Alex, for winning the quiz.
Oh, yeah.
And well done, Alex.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But I mean, hey, we've still got another question left to go, I believe.
We do.
And it's worth 2 points, and Robin gets the first guess.
I was going to say that.
I'm sorry to say that it is only worth 1 point. It's a point that people will be interested in because it's about alcohol. And about British alcohol specifically, and about Jubilee-related alcohol.
Oh.
So the question is, what type of alcohol is PIMS?
Show yourself, Boudicca!
PIMS, that British institution.
I thought this genuinely is a philosophical question that I have had raised many times in my life, and no one I've ever spoken to has ever known. But I would guess... It's a spirit.
Do you want something more specific?
I want more specific than spirit.
What? More specific than spirit?
Well, what else do you think it's going to be? Like, mead or wine or?
Champagne is always been celebrated for its
Pims is Pims.
Pims.
You dilute it, so it's not a wine.
It's its own thing. Mm. It's like, you know, it's not vodka or gin. It's Pims.
There we go.
Does it say on the bottle?
Of course, you've got some. It's always got some to hand.
It says PIMS, spirit drink, but I looked it up.
What did you say? What was that word you said?
Pims, a nice drink. Born in London, it says on this.
Born in London. Sorry, Alex, did you it's your turn to have guess.
Your guess was spirit, wasn't it? Okay.
Spirit. Yeah. Spirit, well, okay.
It's quite sweet.
Okay.
I mean, I've never drank straight Pims, but I imagine it's quite sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
But it's Pims is like a spirit, as in it's 40%, yeah, isn't it? It's not. Is it 40 or 20?
25.
Okay, like maybe a weak spirit.
I'm going to guess then. Is it rum?
It is not rum.
Okay. Oh, but is that okay, the level of specificity that you want?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm never going to get this.
just name a couple of spirits. You'll get there.
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Yes, Robin.
Is it a gin?
It is. It's a gin.
Is it really?
Yep.
Actually. Huh.
It is, yeah.
Oddest tasting gin I've ever had. So what kind of gin is it? What's the flavour?
It's a secret guarded recipe, apparently. So we add lots of other bits and pieces to it. But yeah, the base of it apparently is gin.
Huh.
And well done to Doom, who says, probably gin because I hate gin and I hate Pims. So
yeah. That's really interesting. Okay. Well, maybe the secret ingredient is the remains of Mr. Pym himself, just kept in a vat, slowly infusing the gin.
He's cryogenically frozen, and they just put him in the big melting pot like an ice cube,
yeah,
and keep taking him out and freezing him again. And
yeah. It's fine, Alex. You don't need to do that because it's alcohol. It kind of preserves him at the same time as it's getting infused by his essence. It's
genius.
It's a great business model. It's cost effective.
Actually, I know Doom. You hate Pims. I'm a big fan of Pims.
Just bought the bottle for show for the podcast.
I bought the bottle for kids.
So is that your personal Jubilee celebrations, Martin? Is that you'll be celebrating it?
Straight, a litre of Pims, straight. Yeah,
necking Pims from the bottle.
Yeah. That's what the Queen. It's what the Queen would have wanted. She's not dead, but that's what she would have
wanted. The Queen and country, Martin. Crack open, do a shot. Just neck some Pims.
Oh, no. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
There's 47 people watching, Martin, on YouTube.
And we're talking about Pims, which
neck
probably...
Neck some Pims.
talking about the audience kind of breakdown of geographies. Maybe half people won't know what it is.
Oh, that's true, actually, yeah. Oh, it's a gin. They know now.
Yeah. It's a very dark, peculiarly flavoured gin that we drink in summer, usually with ice... and fruit, and I guess a tonic, lemonade.
It's normally lemonade.
You put your lemonade, then you put some lemon, orange, a bit of mint sometimes, cucumber,
strawberry. Mint and strawberry. Yeah.
It's normally mint and basically whatever fruit you've got lying about. Just chuck it in a jar.
Yeah. Nice.
Cucumber often gets in there too, actually.
Yes, it does. Well, well done, Alex, on a well-deserved victory.
Yeah, well done.
Peter in the chat says congrats. Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much.
Four points is not bad at all, Robin.
It's a very good effort.
It's a very respectable score.
Thank you both very much for trying to...
Oh, actually, guys, check it out. Check out the quiz leaderboard. Bam. Yo. There it is. Just up.
Damn. You've let the side down, Robin.
Big number six.
In the comments, well done to Doom. 4 points, I believe. Dylan Jerome, 3 points. And well done to everyone else who got some points during the quiz. Very good. Very good indeed. Right, the bonus question.
Ooh, bonus question.
How many miles is it from London to New York City?
If anyone is in these woods...
Sorry.
I'm going via Google Maps here, by the way. Okay. So that's the source of all knowledge.
I mean, this is a wild stamp for me, so I thought I'd just buzz in first. So how many miles from London to New York?
Yeah.
Closest winds?
Yeah.
Is it 4,000?
Okay.
I don't know distances.
So planes, they travel, is it 500 miles an hour?
Like pretty fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Sounds like a good round number.
And I don't know how
every
long
plane travels 500 miles an hour.
I don't know how long a flight is to New York, but I'm guessing around 6-7 hours.
At least 7-8 hours. Yeah.
About
I'm gonna say 3,000 miles.
Interesting.
If Robin's 4,000, I'll go 3,000 just to make it a bit interesting.
Okay, so Alex, you're closer by 41 miles.
No, really? Wow.
3,459.
Wow, fair enough.
So congratulations to a couple of people who said 3,500 in the comments. So Hidden Issue and Anglo-Saxon Warrior, who said, I had a good old quiz. They both said 3,500. Well, so, you know, depending on where in the city you are, could well be correct.
Well done. Well done, everyone.
Yeah, well done.
Peter says nautical or air miles. I don't know. As I say, I'm just going by Google here.
Is it air miles? Why are we different? Because you go higher, so you actually travel a shorter distance, don't you? Because the Earth is spinning, whereas on the sea, you're just... Yeah. Car miles is a lot longer. I'll say that.
Yeah, if you try and drive your car through the sea,
it ain't going to work, mate. Unless you're James Bond. Got the Lotus Esprit.
Very true. Very true. I know that on the way back from New York or the US in general to the UK, it takes longer. Well, it did from the West Coast anyway.
Is that because of the jet stream?
On the way over, yeah, because the jet stream. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. You know what else is interesting? One of you put up a poll in the chat. Would a painted shell have lured you to your death? And 55% of our watchers said yes. Good. 44% said no.
They should have given it a go then, shouldn't they?
In fairness, if you saw a painted shell in the sea, I'd think it would be some kind of treasure or something, some long forgotten treasure. So I would naturally pick it up. So I think it would lure me to my death.
It depends. If it were just painted like a child had splashed some color on it, I wouldn't be interested. But if it were painted with, you know, the Venus de Milo kind of delicately put on it, or a smiley face. Yeah.
You know, so if you're in the sea, you're diving, and you see a painted shell with any sort of paint on it, any sort of human insignia or whatever on it, unless it's decent artwork, you wouldn't have like the kind of sense of curiosity to just pick it up. You'd just look at it and be like, nah, it's rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
This alien foreign object is just not doing it for me. It's not
interesting. my initial thought was, yeah, they've used some like kids' poster paint in primary colours that splattered all over it. Well, that looks interesting. But in reality, what would they do? They colour it in like pearl and gold, maybe, or at least, or even just gold. Just a bit shiny.
I love gold.
Exactly.
That's your keeper.
Well, well done. Well done, gents.
Yeah, thank you for a great quiz, Martin. And well done, Alex, on your victory. And thank you, all of you, for joining us for the quiz, for our facts, for our idle chatter, and, of course, for 638 ways to kill Castro, of which we described about five. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to seeing you next time. And, well, bye for now.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.